This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Rooster! Okay!
Oh, that was from, I know what that was from. That's from the SNL 50 special where they do, what is it, Bronx Chat or whatever the hell that skit is. How old are you, AMAC? 28, you said, right?
I'll take it. No, 29.
29?
Yeah.
Might be a little bit. I mean, are you a Saturday Night Live guy?
A little bit. It depends on who's performing.
Yeah, I mean, same with me. I mean, I'm not like a diehard, but yeah, that was from the SNL 50. They're like, okay, Rooster! As they're basically, doing the skit. So anyway, that's what that was all about. Welcome back, everybody. Hour number two. Good to have you with us on a Tuesday afternoon. Listen, I am a little bit bummed out that Jonathan Allen is probably not going to be back. I knew it. I knew it was likely. Not surprised by any stretch. I don't think you should be surprised if you've been paying any sort of attention. I don't think anybody really is. This is not a shocking move. I'm going to use the thought process that we mentioned in hour number one that a lot of people are mentioning for Marshawn Lattimore, which is, hey, man, listen, they've earned the right to do what they think is in the best interest of the organization. They have now a proven small track record here and a proven track record elsewhere. I realize this is not just a, what are they doing? What are they thinking? This is a salary cap move, right? And everybody, we kept saying this, right? First of all, the publicly listed numbers are not accurate, okay? Maybe they're reasonably close, but they're not exactly accurate, number one. Number two, even if they had $80-ish million of salary cap room, it doesn't mean that teams are willing to pay the kind of costs that the contracts that were worked out before us, it doesn't mean we have to be saddled with that. If there's an exit ramp, and there clearly was with Jonathan Allen, again, instead of paying $48.5 million to Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne, who didn't, now, again, Allen, part of the year he was lost, because of the injury. The idea of paying $48.5 million, no. We're not going to pay that unless both are really, really good, and neither was really, really good. Right? So I don't think there's a lot of controversy here. On one hand, they're letting go of their best defensive lineman. Is that a fact in your eyes? Because it is in my eyes. They're letting go of their best defensive lineman. That's not to say that Jonathan Allen was great, but in the best of a kind of watered-down bunch, right? Dante Fowler was a pass rusher. Dorrance Armstrong was really good the first half or so, maybe two-thirds of the season. I think he wore down. I'd have to go back and double-check all the numbers, but I think he kind of wore down a little bit later in the year, which, understandable, right? He was not an every-down player in Dallas. Not that any defensive linemen are, but, you know, he played more this year, I think, than he did in any previous year in Dallas. Again, I'd have to double-check that, but that's my sense. My point being is, we can't pay $48 million for fine. So somebody was going to have to go, right? That's just how teams do it. Because it's not only about space this year, but it's also carrying over space for next year, right? And the next year after that, along with another increase in the cap. And all of a sudden you find yourself next year having $70 million or whatever the case might be. So again, teams are not, just because they have cap space, they are not going to carry players with diminishing returns if there's an exit ramp, and there clearly was. Now, what Adam Peters also said today was, hey, man, we got 29 free agents. Our plan is to bring a bunch of them back. He didn't say exactly how many and who, and take our chances that way. Keep building this thing. And that's kind of like what you do when you've established the culture, the brotherhood, the identity that you're looking for. Tough, hard-nosed, physical, unselfish, that type of thing. Teams like the Washington Commanders will take less talented guys over more talented guys if they're the right cultural fit, if they're the right fit in the so-called brotherhood. Why? Because they believe that's important. How important is debatable, but they believe that's important, and they believe, hey, man, instead of bringing in a bad apple who could upset the apple cart, why not stick with what we know and hope, plan, think of ways to make that better? And that's what I think the Commanders are doing. Jonathan Allen, by the way, not a problem, not somebody who's cocky or arrogant or anything. It just, again, the way the contract is structured, it just makes sense. Because of the mistake that was made by the previous regime on Daron Payne. And to be fair, a lot of us thought, wow, they signed Daron Payne long term when that came across. And remember, I think that was done before the league year even started 2 years ago. Meaning like right around now, maybe a little bit later, early March, whatever it was. Like they didn't have to do that. But they did. They could have, again, franchise tagged them or whatever. They did. They signed them long term. And obviously it was at a healthy, healthy, healthy figure. And that's what leads us to today. All right, let's get back to the phones. Jonesy is in D.C. What's up, Jonesy? How are you? Jonesy? I don't know what Jonesy is doing, so we'll put him back on hold. We'll see. AMAC, if you could check in on him every once in a while and see what his deal is. Jason is in Laurel. What's up, Jason? How are you, pal?
Rooster, what's up, brother?
What's going on, Jason?
I don't think I talked to you last week.
I was going to say, it's been a little while, yeah. How you been, all right?
Yeah, a little good. Thanks for asking. You know, I was so excited when the season ended, and I was so excited for these moments because I believe that not only is the team have good people owning it, I think we have good people running it now, mm-hmm. and they're looking for good people to fill it, and that excites me. And I got to be honest, I'm a little frustrated with a lot of the other listeners on all the shows. And in my opinion, Adam Peters is going to do one of two things this year. He's going to continue to take big swings. And I say continue because I think the Latimer trade was a big swing. And I don't think you can judge that yet, by the way. I think you're absolutely right. We've got to give him an offseason, let him get healthy. But that was a big swing. They continue to take big swings, or he's going to build long-term for the future. And I'm all right with either, but I really wish people, you know, it's not on Adam Peters to get Myles Garrett because Cleveland's got to want to deal him. But if he's on the table, go get him. You know, if he's on the table. And that takes them to set that mark. But I mean, I believe they'll continue to make Duke swings, or they'll build long term. I'd be okay if they drafted 8 or 9 linemen, offensive and defensive, nothing else. But the team has all kinds of holes. But we also have this window where, you know, we got the best quarterback in the league, maybe, mm-hmm. and anything can happen.
Yeah, it sounds like you're with me. I think they'll take selective big swings, right? They will not nickel and dime every move like again, seemingly they did last offseason. Last offseason, very different than this offseason. And this offseason won't be maybe very different than next offseason, but it'll be slightly different, but it'll be more in line with what this offseason will be. But very different than last offseason. So I think they will, again, be, what did I call it last week? I think cautiously aggressive, which I know doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But you know what I'm saying. Like, there'll be no Albert Haynesworth, Josh Norman type signings. That's not to say that they won't spend significant money to secure somebody, but there won't be the big, big splash just to make the headlines and a bad system fit. They believe, oh, hey, you know what? If we're going out to get a player and we're going to pay that, you know, top of the market or in line with top of the market, whatever, we have to use him the best way possible, not force a square peg into a round hole, right? That kind of thing. So it's going to be in concert with each other. I don't think they're going to blow out the budget for anybody. I don't think they're going to put somebody in a bad scheme fit and have a doubled mistake. And I don't think that's what happened with Lattimore, by the way.
No, I mean, and you know, I think last offseason with the holes they had and the people they brought in, he knocked it out of the park. I love to see what he does this year. But whether he goes long-term build or, like, let's close this window and change the rookie contract, I'm fine with either. I just can't wait to see what they do. And if I can put a name, I love the Arizona State running back. I don't know if he'll be available in the 3rd or 4th rounds where we could draft him, but I love that kid. That kid needs to be a commander. I can't believe I said commander because I was calling Redskins.
I know. It's okay. It's all right. I mean, you can call him Redskins. Cam Scatabo is who you're talking about, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, him and the kid from Penn State. I love those two kids, and I think they're both guys that would play within our play style.
You know, here's the thing. Scatabo is we talked a lot about Amarian Hampton last week from North Carolina. Scatabo is a kid. I mean, I didn't see a lot of Arizona State until obviously late in the year when they played in bigger standalone games. He's only 5'11", 215, but I think when you watch him, and I could be wrong on this, when you watch him, he plays bigger than that, if that makes sense. Right?
Brewster, he plays like a big Larry. Plays like a fast Larry Zonka.
Yeah.
That he plays like Larry Zonka, but
check
faster.
Check this out. I'm gonna throw you a number, you know, maybe not to back up the Larry Zonka comp, but yards after contact, 1,202 yards after contact. That was 3rd in college football. 1,202. Right? And he's a pretty good receiver. And I'll give you another one. 103, according to PFF, missed tackles that were forced, 2nd in the country.
Yeah, he brings a load, and apparently he's a very endearing kid. Teammates like him and stuff, which is important with this group. And I like that because I do think it is important, but those intangibles seem to matter with this group. So that's the guy. Like, hey, Rich, thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate
you. Show. Take care, brother.
Thank you, Jason. Good to hear from you. He was talking about I assume he was talking about the Penn State tight end.
Yeah, because both of the running backs are coming back.
So. So Tyler Warren is who we're talking about. Tyler Warren, remember that monster game he had? Who was that against?
He had a big one against Boise State in the CFP.
Yes, but there was a monster game in the regular season where didn't he go for like over 200 yards or something like that? I'd have to look that up. Last year, 16 games, 104 catches, on 135 targets, 1,230 receiving yards, 11.8 per reception, 8 touchdowns. I assume that counts the playoff game. 224 against USC. Thank you, AMAC. Appreciate you. So that's right. Okay. There was smack dab in the middle of the season. I couldn't remember exactly who it was. But I remember watching a bunch of that game, and I couldn't remember if it was UCLA or Oregon State or one of those, you know, West Coast schools that nobody cares about. But the bottom line is, yeah, I mean, look, there's talent out there every year, of course. He's the top tight end in the draft. There's no doubt about that. The problem is it's hard to see in a league where tight ends continue to get elevated and accentuated, and especially after what's-his-name had the monster rookie year in Vegas, that it's just hard to see Tyler Warren last to 29. Not impossible. I guess anything could happen. And if he's there, sure. Sure. But it's just hard to see that. All right, 301-230-0980. We'll take a timeout. We'll reset. We'll hear a little bit more from Adam Peters. Again, what do you make of his thoughts on Adam on Marshawn Lattimore? It certainly seems like Marshawn Lattimore is not going anywhere. Again, he didn't say that conclusively 100%. He doesn't have to. He shouldn't, okay, to give yourself some wiggle room. But that's what makes sense. And then on top of that, obviously, the decision on Jonathan Allen, in which he did leave the door open a little bit. When we also come back, I want to start getting into Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward. Oh, I'm watching some highlights up. And whether or not they should be throwing, not throwing, whether it's a big deal, not a big deal. My sense is from you guys are a lot of you guys love athletes and don't love common sense. You love athletes and don't love common sense. And you're going to say, not a big deal, but I want to ask it anyway, and I want to give at least a reasonable spin on Shedeur Sanders specifically, because we don't know about Cam Ward just yet, and we did find out the status of other quarterbacks in terms of participating at the Combine. Want to get into that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Let's get ready to wrestle!
Mix there, huh?
I like that.
Anytime we can get the Jackson 5 on the radio program, I'm down. And again, thanks to Mike Rome, WWE, for, contributing that. I don't think he's aware that we stole it, but we're giving him credit for it. We didn't steal it. We're just borrowing it. Just having some fun. Happened to see it last night. And, I just couldn't resist asking AMAC to mix it in. So he's mixing it in. Appreciate that. Coming up, we'll hear more from Adam Peters. I did want to get just a couple of thoughts on this before we keep going. Listen, Shador Sanders is not going to throw at the combine. He wants to concentrate on the interviews, what have you. He's going to participate in a pro day at Colorado, which is scripted by their people, which is their wide receivers on their field, in their building, on their facility, on their campus. I get why quarterbacks specifically want to do more and more of this. No doubt, it is to their advantage to have things more familiar with them. I'm not a dummy. I wasn't born yesterday. I also understand that throwing at the combine is not a guarantee one way or the other that you are going to be successful in your rookie year or in any way, shape, or form in your NFL career, right? I understand that. But here's what I don't understand. When you have the conjecture that you have about Shador Sanders, is he a top 5 pick? Is he a top 3 pick? Just looking at some odds that SportsCenter put up. I think he's third off the board. In terms of, Cam Ward is the favorite. Abdul Carter is dealing with an injury. He's not going to work out at the combine. Is second. And I think Shador Sanders is third. Like, I get that you could ultimately draw up some bad headlines, right? If you're wild, erratic, all over the place, you're nervous, you just have a bad day, I get it. I get how it can. But I'm just going to tell you what a longtime scout, head scout executive once told me, more than once, about the combine, about the Senior Bowl, about the All-Star games in general. And that is, listen, man, we understand they haven't played football in a month, month and a half, whatever it turns out to be, a couple of weeks, depending if we're talking about the Senior Bowl. We understand they haven't played. We understand it's all new. We understand pro coaching is different than college coaching. We understand that they're working with receivers of a different sort and a different ilk. Timing could be off. Rhythm could be off. Cohesion could be off. Communication could be off, right? We all understand that. They ain't looking for that. They're not looking for, Shador Sanders completed every pass. They're not looking for that. What they're looking for is release, footwork, timing on the throw, right? That's what they're looking for. Yes, the meetings are more important than the on-field workouts, but let's put you in an adverse circumstance. I always say this, okay? In the NFL, yes, you will have receivers, for the most part, that you are familiar with, that you've been practicing with all offseason, training camp, preseason, maybe during the regular season. But say you wake up in mid-November, okay, you're a rookie quarterback, and you're in Chicago, and it's cold as bleep out, and it's 30-mile-an-hour winds, and there's snow flurries, and freezing rain at times. Are you going to say, nah, not for me, dog? I might look bad. I might hurt myself. I might hurt my reputation. And again, I understand it's not exactly the same thing, obviously. But here's what I think has happened. Here's what I know has happened. Agents have driven this into the ground. They have said, look, you don't gain enough, but perception-wise, you could lose enough if you have a bad performance, if you don't look sharp. All they're going to be talking about, the Daniel Jeremiahs of the world, the Field Yateses of the world, the Mel Kipers of the world, whoever it might be, all they're going to be talking about is, yeah, he didn't look sharp. Cam Ward did this. Cam Ward did that. He didn't look great here. He was on timing here. Look at this play. He missed this. He's got to make this throw. That's not how NFL teams really evaluate. Like, some of that will be part of the evaluation. They'll look at everything. But if you think they are making a decision based on solely a throwing day at the combine, you're crazy. That it's not even close to being true. AMAC, your favorite team, the New York Giants, looking for a quarterback. It's possible that Shedeur Sanders could be that guy. Are you disappointed at all that he's not throwing at the combine? Does that tell you anything?
No, not at all. Not at all. And then I think that for him, it was kind of the best move because these last couple of weeks, Shedeur has been falling down on draft boards. I think like at the end of the season, there was talk about him being the first quarterback in this class. But now I saw that Mel Kiper just came out with the mock draft, and he had him at 6 going to the Jets.
Right.
Behind New York. So, you know,
But did he have Cam Ward going to the Giants?
He had Cam Ward going 2nd to Cleveland, I believe.
Okay.
So, yeah, answer your question, if Shedeur comes into the NFL draft and throws amazingly, I don't think that that's going to change anyone's mind or move him necessarily up draft boards. But if he performs terribly, he's definitely slipping.
I've got Mel Kiper. This was from late January, so maybe this isn't the most recent one. All right, so I'm going to have to try and find the most recent one. But he had, in late January, he had Cam Ward number 1 to Tennessee, Travis Hunter number 2, Shedeur Sanders, number 3, to the Giants. So I'm going to have to find the most recent one. There's so much content out there, guys, that it's just hard to keep track of all of it with the changing, all that. He had in his 2025 NFL Draft Big Board rankings, which is different than a mock draft. Okay, and this was as of yesterday. He had Travis Hunter 1, he had Abdul Carter 2, Mason Graham, the defensive tackle of Michigan 3, Ashton Jeanty 4, the running back from Boise State. He had Shedeur Sanders ahead of Cam Ward. So I don't know if Shedeur Sanders necessarily is falling. It's probably beauty in the eye of the beholder and guys having to create content, whatever. But here's what I would say. He played in the East-West Shrine Game, which was not a spot that any top 10 quarterback, has, to my memory, has ever played in. I think he did that, A, because it's for a good cause, okay, the Shrine Hospital for kids with cancer and all that stuff. And I think they, based in Arlington, Texas, where, you know, I think that was important to Dion, quite honestly. He wouldn't have gone there, I don't think, without the push from Dion. I don't know if he would have gone to the Senior Bowl instead, but he wouldn't have gone there, okay? under normal circumstances. And that's why I say there's nothing normal about Shedeur Sanders, because he performs there, but yet he's not going to throw at the combine. And again, I give him credit for performing at the Shrine game, right? Because he didn't have to do that. Almost every top prospect does not do that. That's more for like mid-rounders, quite honestly, and undrafted kids. He did that, so I give him credit. But this one, I'm not crushing him. I'm not strongly criticizing him. It's a, man, I wish he was doing that. And my understanding is Cam Ward, we haven't gotten an official decision on. There's no chance Cam Ward's throwing. Mm-mm. No chance. No chance that he's throwing. I mean, if Shedeur Sanders is not going to throw, what? Like, Cam Ward's not going to throw, right? And then if you look at the rest of the quarterbacks, Jackson Dart of Ole Miss, now he needs to throw because he's a turnover machine. Every time I watch him, he's turning the ball over. He is throwing. I think Kyle McCord's throwing from Syracuse, former Ohio State quarterback. Jalen Milroe, again, needs to throw from Alabama. And I believe the rest of the list, like Quinn Ewers and Riley Leonard, who wound up at Notre Dame, I think all of those guys are throwing. So, I mean, there'll be plenty of quarterbacks to watch when the quarterbacks come out and work out. And I think that's on Friday. The problem is, it's not a problem. It's a want. It's a wish. I wish players would listen less to their agents and listen more to their gut and their intuition, if that makes sense. Hey, man, like, all right, you might get beat up a little bit by the draft community. I don't want to say that means nothing, because obviously those people talk to teams and teams watch the media coverage. But truly and honestly, if Shedeur Sanders went out and had a bad day, whenever the quarterbacks work out, Friday, Saturday, whatever it is, if he had a bad day, I'd almost be willing to guarantee you there would be much more talk and conjecture from the media than there would be from NFL teams and executives. NFL teams and executives care more about, hey, man, what did you do at Colorado? What did you do before that, obviously, at Jackson State? How did you progress? How did you adjust? How did you handle adversity? And Shedeur doesn't have the strongest arm and the biggest mobility, but he's accurate. He seems poised. He seems pretty in rhythm, I guess. And I think the thing that's going to hurt him, or maybe it helps him, but I would likely say more than the combine, is your dad. Because teams might not want to deal with Deion. They might want to, because think about it. Rock star immediate status, right? Sell a lot of jerseys. Get people a lot of excited. There are some teams that are not going to want to deal with Deion. I think that has a much bigger impact than anything he could do positive or negative at the combine. I just wish he would throw at the combine. Like, I'll admit, it's not that important, but I can want something, right? Like, I can want to go out to dinner tonight, not go out to dinner tonight. Right? Like, I don't think that's a bad thing for me to say. I wish he was throwing. I want more data. I want more opportunities to see. I want to see in adverse circumstances what Shedeur Sanders looks like, what Cam Ward looks like, what all these guys look like. Unless you're injured, that's the only thing that I go, okay, fine. Because you're going to work out at your campus pro day, but how are you going to work out there? You're going to work out in very much advantageous conditions and circumstances. I want to see when you wake up in mid-November and there's freezing rain and 30-mile-an-hour winds and you got to play at Soldier Field, how you perform. You get what I'm saying? You get the analogy that I'm trying to come up with? I want to see you perform in adverse circumstances. That tells me more than a scripted Hollywood type setting in Boulder. That's me. All right. Thoughts on that? Plus, we'll get to the tush push and everything else going on in the NFL. And then we'll get to some other things in the 3 o'clock hour, including an impressive win by the Wizards. Yeah, details and thoughts on that coming up. As well, you can continue to, again, react to Jonathan Allen and or the news on Marshawn Lattimore. First, we do a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so again, that news on Jonathan Allen has been confirmed by General Manager Adam Peters. He is free to explore a trade, him and his agent. Although Adam Peters did say, which was not part of the initial reporting, that everything is still on the table, meaning Jonathan Allen could somehow still wind up playing back with the Washington Commanders next year. It's been his only NFL home. He was hurt for half the year last year. The Tennessee Titans believe Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders' teammate at Colorado, can play both ways in the NFL. They hold the number one overall pick. The Miami Dolphins dealing with a couple of big splash name situations. First, left tackle Teron Armstead, who's been oft injured. They believe he will not return next year. He's been considering retirement. Also, Tyreek Hill underwent wrist ligament surgery. Should be okay, but certainly that might do some damage to the potential trade talks that some were trying to kick up on Tyreek Hill. Chiefs general manager the Chiefs general manager, Brett Veach, said they are planning for Travis Kelce to play in 2025, saying, Veach did, he has, quote, that fire and desire to play. We will see about Taylor Swift's man, whether he is coming back. And the Ravens general manager, Eric DaCosta, telling the media today that allegations about his place kicker, Justin Tucker, who struggled mightily last year, are both serious and concerning. However, the team said they will wait before determining his short-term and long-term future. Tonight, it is in Los Angeles, 10 o'clock, Dallas Mavericks without Anthony Davis. And the Los Angeles Lakers with Luka Doncic. They get it on again, 10 o'clock tonight. And for you, locally, we have the Caps and the Calgary Flames as Alex Ovechkin is 13 goals away from breaking the Great One's mark of 894. You can catch it at 106.7 The Fan and the Odyssey app. And that's what's trending.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for your main event, WrestleMania.
Yeah, you can tweet or X or Twix at WrestleMania 621, at WrestleMania 621. Good to have you with us on a Tuesday afternoon. Your thoughts on Shedeur Sanders not throwing at the combine? Is it important at all? Do you want him to? Do you care? Any of that? I don't think anybody really cares. I think most people at this point expect the top athletes are not going to physically perform, whether it's run the 40, whether it's do all the drills. They're just going to rest on their laurels, right? Rest on their tape, rest on whatever. They don't look at it as important. They look at the other stuff as important. And the other stuff is important. It's just a wish and a want. It's not a get rid of the scouting combine. It has no purpose. That's not what I'm talking about. It's just a, hey, man, show yourself under adverse circumstances. That's it. Now, doesn't bother AMAC? Bother might be a strong word. Like, I wish Jaden Daniels would have performed last year. Didn't hurt him. He went number two overall. He had the best rookie season of all time. I can't say you have to. It's just a wish. It's just a want. It's just a desire. That's it. I wish more players would stop hiding behind their agents and hiding behind this everything's got to be 75 and sunny prism. No, it doesn't. 301-230-0980. Let's try Jonesy again. As well, Jonathan Allen given permission to seek a trade. And Marshawn Lattimore appears very much to be coming back from Adam Peters earlier today. What's up, Jonesy? How are you?
Hey, Bruce, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now, Jonesy. I missed you the first time, but I got you now.
That's okay. Well, let me talk to you.
Let me talk to you. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Look, I don't put no stock inside of the combine thing, man. But I always say this one thing, and I got this from Doc, and even though, of course, you can run, but you can't hide. So, you know, eventually, you know, we're going to find out who you are once you come through those NFL doors. And it starts with the off season. Once you clue in, then you got to show yourself, you know. So I'm not tripping. But my son got me watching an edge rusher, man. This kid out of Ohio State, man. And his name is Jack something or other.
Jack Sawyer. He's interesting because I think he can play edge and off the ball as well. I think I'd have to double check that, but I remember him roaming more of the middle of their defense as well.
Okay, if he's a home wrecker, I want him.
Yeah,
if we can get him.
Yeah,
if he's a home wrecker, I want him.
Well, you know. Yeah, I listen. He's the type of. You're talking about the Ohio State linebacker. You said right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I think I'm trying to pull him up here, and I'm not having much success. I'm going to have to look up some numbers on him, but I'm pretty sure I remember him playing both inside and outside. But again, I'd have to double check that.
It's okay. It's all right. But John Allen, I don't know, man. If we can get a little bargain deal from him, if he want to give us a hometown discount, sure, I'll take him back. But if he's talking, you know, out of this world kind of money, you know, not after what I saw last, and maybe even the season before that. I can't remember much of a season. I mean, Ron Rivera's last year here, I don't remember him doing much there either.
Yeah, he was not great in that year either. I would say this about Jonathan Allen, right? And this is why nobody's going to be upset that he's being let go or dangled or whatever. There just has not been enough splash plays from either one of those two guys. It's not like they haven't shown up. It's not like they haven't tried. It's not like they haven't at times, you know, been serviceable or good or fine. It's just that there has not been enough game-wrecking plays or splash plays or standalone plays. And when you're making a lot of money, people look at that, and it's fair. It's
That's
right.
Correct.
You have to make game-changing plays, and neither one of them makes game-changing plays.
Exactly. It's just like what Doc said, man. It seems like once these guys get paid, they fool, and we don't see what they were showing us before they got paid. Mm-hmm. That's my thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm all for the hunt now.
I got you.
We got to move on. We're trained. We're not at home, but we got to move on. I'm out.
I got you. Thank you, Jonesy. And they are moving on. There is no listen again. There's a small, small, small sliver. I mean, think about it. Like, you know, if you've got like a I don't know, like a pecan pie in front of you. You like pecan pie, Amen?
No.
I like pecan pie. It's gooey. It's kind of sweet. It's too sweet, but it's gooey. It's got like that caramelly, nougaty, whatever. I like pecan pie. I'm not a pecan, like just like eat pecans out of a bag type thing, but I like pecan pie. But think about like if you're trying to watch calories, sugar, whatever, carbs, if you got a pecan pie in front of you, right? Normally there's like 8 slices usually, right?
Sure.
You know, if you take maybe 1/3 of one slice, if that makes sense. Okay, so not 1/8 of the pie, one slice. You're taking like 30% or 33% of one slice. Just a little sliver. That's the chances that Jonathan Allen comes back. And we outlined it in hour number one, right? If he's willing to take a massive pay cut, and his agent is willing to do that, and the NFLPA doesn't squawk about it, then he can come back. If not, thanks. We appreciate every one of your efforts. He was pretty good in the Detroit playoff game. Yeah, pretty good in the Detroit playoff game. I remember talking to him at his locker after it, and I said, you know, You've been here a long time. What does this, you know, what does this win mean? You know, and you know, this could have been your last game. You know, and he was definitely a little bit more emotional about it. I'll give you something on Sawyer, the Ohio State linebacker, when we come back. We'll do that next on the T980 and the Odyssey app. You know when you have a million things on your mind and in your brain and you can't keep track of them all? Well, that's exactly what happened to me. We were supposed to have Sam Bruckhouse on from Sumer Sports at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis earlier this hour, and I totally butchered it. Totally forgot. So it looks like we're going to have him on next hour. Stay tuned for that. Sam's good. He played college football at Tulane. He's all over the draft. We had him on Super Bowl week from New Orleans, and we should be able to get him on here tomorrow on the show. We'll be joined by Brianna Bennett, who is the skating director at the MedStar Capital's Iceplex and the Ashburn Ice House, which is... We're doing that to help. Look, everybody knows the tragedy that happened with the ice skating community. So this weekend at Capital One Arena, they're doing a Legacy on Ice skating tribute for the DCA crash victims and first responders. Again, that's Sunday, March 2nd. If you can support it in any way, go to Ticketmaster. I think they're waiving all the ticket fees and all that stuff. Just please go and help out in any way that you can. So we are going to have... you know, we're going to have that for you along with someone else from Indianapolis. I think Lindsay Rhodes will join us from Indianapolis. But again, Brianna Bennett, who's the skating director at MedStar Capital's Iceplex and the Ashburn Ice House, which, again, unfortunately lost, you know, so much a part of their community. So hopefully, you know, we can do our little part. But if you can do your part, that would be great and help Monumental. Help the Capitals, and more importantly, help the families and the victims of such a terrible tragedy. So that's what we can do to help. We'll get back to your calls in a little bit. Are you ready to win big in and live it up in Sin City? Well, it's the slam dunk in Vegas on the Team 980. Listen for your chance to win a flyaway trip to Las Vegas with three friends and $20,000 in spending money for the first two rounds of the college basketball tournament. You'll stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas's premier sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the Team 980 for a chance to win the experience of a lifetime. Listen each day for an hour to earn your daily entry. This is a national contest. More details available at odyssey.com/slam dunk. We'll take a time out here for the top of the hour. Still to come, we got to get into the tush push controversy. We got to get into the receiver that just got paid, which... Again, could affect some things. I don't think it has a direct impact on anything the Commanders were looking at. And we got to get into the Wizards, who came away with a big win last night against Brooklyn at Capital One Arena. That's all still to come before 4 o'clock right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.